Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for the British phrase, His Majesty's Government, in the United Kingdom, as UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer's administration has been actively replacing the historical reference with the new non-gendered and non-royal referencing UK government. Obviously, this is a long overdue change for two very simple reasons. First, anytime we can degender something as significant as the monarchy, the better off we'll all be. And it's not lost on us that nobody tried to do this during the 70 years of Queen Elizabeth's reign, and rightfully so. To degender the monarchy under a queen would have been demeaning the importance of having a female leader of the UK. But now that King Charles has taken the throne, it's perfectly appropriate to take away the gender reference of His Majesty's government. As Precept 14 of the Holy Guidelines of Modern Gender Anarchy reminds us, anything which diminishes women is bad, but anything which diminishes men is good. Down with the patriarchy, amen? Amen. In addition to degendering the monarchy this way, we also love that now the UK is finally in a good position to prepare itself for its first transgender monarch. Obviously, there will come a time when a person identified prince at birth will discover she is actually a princess, and eventually wind up in this throne as the first trans queen. Or perhaps the eldest will be identified a princess at birth but realize he is actually a prince and become the first trans king. But of course, it's entirely possible a future monarch may identify as non-binary, in which case we'll need entirely new terms for they-them. Perhaps Queeng, or Keen, or the super fiercest one. But in any case, by simply degendering the reference entirely, the linguistic barricades against inclusion of monarchs on the spectrum of fluidity have already been stormed. But second, the monarchy itself is being low-key de-emphasized. The entire concept of royalty, birth order, special people entitled to political power, wealth, and even honorary status is, of course, entirely incompatible with our principles of equality uber alles. The real reason the Conservatives in England are upset with the Labour Party over this move is because they perceive it to be aimed in the direction of ditching the monarchy entirely. It's bad enough that American conservatives believe some people are better than others because of their economic contributions or their adherence to anachronistic sexual codes, but in Great Britain, some people are better than others just by virtue of blood and birth. And what could be more offensive to our anti-racist principles than special status literally entitled by blood and birth? So away with his and hers monarchies. Down with calling someone a prince or a princess until they're able to tell us what they are. Be gone, ye, with restrictive gender binary titles such as king and queen, or duke and duchess, or earl and countess, or baron and baroness, or marquis and marchioness. And let us finally eliminate the concept of royalty itself and usher in a new age of gender-fluid non-binary equality for all people kind, peasant persons and royal persons alike. Woe unto all who offend. Speaking of repersoning and degendering language, our second loss of term this week is gunman. When used for someone who kills multiple people with a firearm under certain specific circumstances. In this case, it was a terrible event, which prompted the change, a mass killing at Tumbler Ridge Secondary School in Canada, 8 victims killed plus the shooter and 25 others wounded. What brought this case before the official Board of Language Review, however, is the fact that the shooter was transgender. 18-year-old Jesse Van Roostelaar was identified male at birth, but had transitioned to female around the age of 12. Now, normally we wouldn't talk about something like this because just mentioning the gender identity of a trans person in connection with a mass shooting reinforces the mistaken notion that non-standard gender identity is some sort of mental health problem which makes those folks more violent or dangerous. And of course, as staunch advocates of all people of the holy acronym string, we reject this bigoted belief, which is why we don't like to talk about cases that involve transgender murderers at all. However, in this particular incident, we can learn something important about language and the importance of gender inclusion, even when we talk about those who murder children. There was some real language leadership on this issue from Royal Canadian Mounted Police Staff Sergeant Chris Clark, who correctly decided to honor the gender identity of the deceased shooter by inventing a gender-neutral descriptor for that person.
That includes the deceased gun person.
Okay.
And then separately, do you know the gun person's relationship to...
He referred to them as a gun person, and that is such an elegant solution to the problem instead of gunmen. Now, we know some of you had raised the question, well, if Jesse identified publicly as female, why wouldn't you refer to her as the gun woman instead of using the gender non-specific term gun person? But do I again need to remind you of the basic elements of your wokeism? If a term makes women look bad, we don't use it. If a similar term makes men look bad, that's fine. So in this case, we recognize that the Mountie is really in a bind. Sergeant Clark doesn't want to misgender the killer by calling her a gun man, but he also doesn't want to disparage women linguistically by calling her a gun woman. So that's why we really love the choice to use gun person instead of either of the others. Of course, we also want to recognize the immediate verbal compliance of the interviewer who internalized the clearly superior new word as quickly as Clark used it. And worth noting, we still recommend using the term gun man in most shootings for the simple reason that most of them are committed by men, so there's no issue with using a word that carries negative implications for males. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we want to talk about the serious problems with the Winter Olympics. First, as one of the great organizational leaders in woke ideology, we really celebrate the Associated Press for writing an article exposing the blatant racism of the Games. As they noted, across countries, the most common feature of the Winter Olympians is the incredibly high number of them who are white. Although there are a few Asian athletes, particularly in skating and snowboarding, there are almost none who are Hispanic or African. This is bad. Really bad, and it reveals the discrimination and disinclusion at the heart of snow and ice sports. The mere six members of the Jamaican team, for instance, five bobsledders and one skier, illustrate the absurdly low number of black athletes competing in Milano Cortina. As the AP explains, this is largely a matter of culture, access, and money, since ice and snow sports tend to be very expensive, thus excluding underprivileged minorities and also immigrants in majority white countries like Sweden and Norway, even though they have substantial non-white immigrant populations. The Winter Games are literally the definition of sports of privilege. Therefore, the AP recommends that more inclusive measures be taken so that athletes of color, their term, can be represented in future Winter Games. On a side note, we really enjoy the fact that the new acronym here will be AOC, since whether we're talking about the amazingly talented congresswoman from New York, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, or the shameful lack of athletes of color in the Winter Olympics, we always want more AOC. But there is another much more obvious problem with the Winter Olympics. The racism is not just in the faces of the athletes, it's in the background of the games themselves. Just consider for a moment, what is the most prevalent color at the Winter Games? White! Snow is white. Ice is white. And, of course, the athletes are white. Everything about the games is blanketed with several inches of systemic racism. And it's right out in the open, everywhere you look. The entire palette of the Olympic Games screams white supremacy. So maybe the real reason we don't have more AOCs, of either kind, is because they feel uncomfortable around so much white snow and ice. And there's simply no reason to not fix this problem. Obviously, dye can be added to water to make the snow and ice it forms be of different colors. So let's show a little inclusion in the tableau of the Winter Games and use tinting to include other races. We can start by having snow be black, or perhaps brown, or yellow. What could be more delightful than a giant slalom course filled with yellow snow? Yes, yellow snow and yellow ice, that's the anti-racist solution we have been looking for. There is sadly yet another problem with the Winter Olympics. Far too many of the sports take place on ice. And as we all know, ever since the re-election of President You-Know-Who, we are adamantly, vehemently, vocally, and ferociously anti-ice. Now, solving this problem of ice everywhere at the Olympics really isn't that hard. All it calls for is a little name change. So from now on, instead of referring to ice skating, we shall just call it frozen water skating. Ice dancing can be frozen water dancing. Ice hockey can be frozen water hockey. You get the picture. And every once in a while, for a little variety, you can say, let's say, curling is a sport played on a long sheet of sub-zero H2O. Simple. So we are calling on the IOC and the broadcasters at NBC to simply begin using the terms frozen water or sub-zero water instead of the horrible and triggering term ice. Thank you for your attention to this matter.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.